Bibles.
Amen. Amen. Remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Amen. Appreciate the songs, amen, that we've sung as a congregation. Appreciate the worship atmosphere, amen. We need that in the house of God, amen. Young man preached after me yesterday, and Brother Goodman, I had met him. We met him at Brother Ballou's funeral, but I'd never heard him preach, and I'd heard about him quite a few times, different things about him, and him and Brother Bell are real close friends. Brother Goodman preached, and he was talking about David when, after Nathan had said, "Thou art the man," the story there, he's really preaching about the death of the child. You know what David did? You know the story. I know you know it, that David fasted. He wouldn't eat anything. He wouldn't drink anything. He wouldn't anoint himself. He fell on his face and prayed. He said, "Who knows if God might peradventure spare the child?" And he was just hanging on to hope when he knew there's no hope. Nathan said that baby's going to die. Nathan's hanging on, or David's hanging on to just a little sliver of hope. And I think that's what we all do, by the way. But immediately when David recognized that the servants was talking among themselves, David perceived, the Bible said, that the child was dead. David asked the servants, "Is the babe dead?" They said, "He is dead." You know what's the first thing David did? He didn't go have a meal. He didn't get up and go put on some fresh clothes and get all spruced up. You know what he did? The Bible said he worshiped. Amen. Worshiped. We'd say at a funeral. He worshiped. You know what that said? God deserves to be praised. God deserves worship. And by the way, worship don't mean necessarily shouting. That's praise. But there won't be any praise if there's not some worship, some love in the heart, some adoration, some reverence from the heart. Amen. Amen. I'd like to see us get to some of the praise. But we'll never get there if we don't get to the worship. Amen. Lord, help us with that. But I appreciate the worship atmosphere in the house of God, the opportunity that we have to look up to Him and to glorify Him. Amen. Let me mention, I mentioned no service tonight. We'll have regular Wednesday night service if you can come out and be a part of that. And then having the baby shower this Saturday at 12, I think, for Miss Amber. So remember that. And the baby there, remember to pray for that. If you can come, those of you ladies that come for that, that'll be a blessing. So that'll be this Saturday at 12. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, the Orange family is going to be with us, both services, morning and night. And I'm planning on preaching on Sunday morning and then letting him preach Sunday night. Have them sing in the services. That'll be next Sunday. And they're coming through again. Going to be going over to Maryville Baptist Church to be with them in meeting that next week. So remember all those in prayer and those special needs, special meetings and things. All right. Romans chapter number 8. Very, very familiar scripture, I'm sure. But I want to begin looking at verse number 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And that'll not be my text itself. I'm going to get on down to a verse in a moment and choose my text and bring you a thought that's on her heart. And I pray God would use for His glory and honor this morning. Romans 8, 28, the Bible says, "And we know." That word "know" means we are assured of this. We're confident of this fact. Amen. It's not a hope so, maybe so. We just wish. This is not wishful thinking. This is what we know. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Amen. Even bad things are for our good. Brother Steve said it this morning about how that trouble comes and it'll drive us to God. I mentioned Brother Goodman. Brother Goodman quoted a statement from Charles Spurgeon. I'd never heard the statement. But he said, Brother Spurgeon, and I can imagine him saying it. He said, "Brother Spurgeon said, I bless the day that I learned to kiss the wave that slammed me against the rock of ages. Amen. I bless the day that I learned to kiss the wave that slammed me against the rock of ages. Trouble can be a blessing. He said he works it out. Amen. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now don't get upset. That didn't say predestinated them to be saved. He's talking about saved people. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So really what he's saying there, God was working, as Brother Steve said this morning, on both ends of the spectrum, from the first call to the last end of the glorification, God was in charge of it all. Amen. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What's these things? These troubles and trials and things that come upon us. What do we say? Well, we say we know that these things all work for good. Verse number 31 again. What shall we then say to these things? These things that he's just said about God knowing it and God planning it and God purposing it. Here's what we say to these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Now verse 32 is where I want to take my text. He, talking about God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to read that verse one more time and then we'll pray. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're so thankful for the privilege we have.
Yes, we are, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for such a glorious
life. Yes. Yes. Oh, help us, Lord.
I pray you'll anoint him with fresh oil. Give him the power, the spirit of God.
Yes, Lord.
Help him to preach. And I ask you, Lord, to take thy word and through the power of the spirit, and the soul of the ground. Lord, there's some great thing for your people. But from any day, I know that suffering, power, problems, difficulties of life. I pray you'll anoint him. Lord, help us. Do great things for us now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hall, for that prayer. Amen. Well, I realize we got a little bit of a late start this morning, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to rush through things. I don't think we came here to get out. I hope we came here to get in. Amen. And I hope you'll give me your attention and pay attention to the Word of God as we look at it and think. I'm going to preach this morning on our great giving God. Our great giving God. Amen. I mentioned about today being my birthday. Birthdays, you think about presents. I'm old enough that I don't get all excited necessarily about that, although I'm thankful for it. I'd rather have them than not. Amen. But we came through this period and we had birthdays last week when we were there with Joshua. Joshua's birthday, I think, was on Tuesday, and then mine then, and then Brother Herbert's, Miss Dorothy's, Miss Katie's, all of us, we just celebrated a little bit there. Wednesday night after church, went to Brahms, amen, and had a meal and some ice cream and had a good time. But you think about gifts, and then this week we got a bunch of birthdays again, and a lot of these things going on. The greatest gift ever given is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Great, no doubt about it, the greatest gift ever given is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. In other words, he said it's so enormous that I don't have words for it. It's so majestic, I don't have words for it. It's so wonderful that I don't have words for it. That's the unspeakable gift that God gave of His Son. Amen. The greatest gift ever given was the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest giver, no doubt, is God Himself. I want you to think about this. He's talking about God giving in verse number 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So the word give is in the verse, but it starts off talking about God giving. He spared not. He didn't hold back His Son, but He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Now, I've got 3 points that I want to try to deal with this morning, if I can, by the help of the Lord. Number one, I want to talk about the costly sacrifice of God. The costly sacrifice of God. Brother Steve said it in Sunday school this morning and said it right, that salvation costs nothing to you and I, but there was a great debt that was paid, a great price that was paid that salvation could be free. Amen. God paid the great debt. He spared not His own Son. Now, amen. I think about what an amazing thing it was that Abraham spared not his own son, Isaac, but showed God that he loved God more than he loved that son that God had promised, and then he was willing to offer him up as an offering. Amen. And yet God did spare Abraham's son. Amen. Abraham was willing not to spare him, but God was willing to spare him, thank God. But when it came to God's own son, God was willing not to spare His own son. But He gave Him up. You know Isaiah 53 and that whole wonderful text that deals with the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus and the fact that God offered Him as God's lamb. Amen. God's sacrificial lamb that He offered there on Calvary. Amen. When I got to thinking about God's great gift and this costly sacrifice of His Son, I got to thinking about the fact when we give, there's a lot of things we don't know. We like to know something about a gift. In other words, we don't want to give something to somebody that they're not going to appreciate or that they're never going to use. It's never going to be any use. You want to know a little something about it. Listen, our God knew everything about it before He ever offered His Son. Amen. He knew the end from the beginning. Amen. He's all knowing. He knew it all. Thank God. And yet, even knowing that, He spared not His own Son. Amen. Just the fact that Christ would come to a stable, be born in a stable, we'll say a smelly stable. Amen. Now we've got some men that's got pregnant wives that are expecting child. And some of you men might be pretty inconsiderate, but none of you are inconsiderate enough to take your wife to a barn and say, this is where I want you to have the baby. At least I hope not. I'm warning you right now. Don't. Amen. No, I don't think you would. And amen. And by the way, Joseph didn't pick that and say, well, this is a good spot. It was in the providence of God, but God knew how lowly that birth was going to be. Was that a place for a king? Surely that wouldn't be a place for the king. But God prepared and planned it all. Amen. And in spite of the smelly stable, in spite of the crowd and no room in the inn, in spite of all the things that was going on, God spared not His own Son. Amen. He knew the fact that it was going to be Bethlehem. He knew about the humiliation of Bethlehem. He knew about the rejection of men. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. God knew that's how it'd be. Amen. He came when those wise men came to Herod. Our Lord must have not been an infant at that time. Must have been a young child. That's what the scripture calls Him. Probably a young child 2 years old or under, because that's the crowd that they killed trying to get Him. Amen. Herod sent out the word and killed those babies. But it wasn't that Herod just hated babies. It was that Herod hated the fact that there was going to be a king born in Bethlehem. Amen. God knew that there's going to be killing babies, and yet He spared not His own Son. Amen. God knew they were going to reject the Lord. God knew there'd be the hatred and the opposition of the wicked. Christ came hurting nobody, doing nobody any wrong, and yet hated by seemingly everybody. God knew that, and yet he spared not his own son. Amen. You think about the fact God knew all the requirements of the law. God knew that all things, almost all things under the law, are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God knew that. God knew that when Christ came to this earth, when God gave his son, he knew that his son was not going to mount the throne of David and reign from the throne of David like most of the Jews expect him to do. He knew that wasn't how he's going to do the first time he came. God knew that he was going to offer himself to Israel. Israel was going to reject him, and Israel was going to turn him over to Pilate, turn him over to the Romans, and that they would actually crucify him on the old rugged cross. But God knew the requirements of the law that blood must be shed in order for redemption to be paid for and bought. Amen. Amen. And so God gave his son. I think about this, and this is my last thought under this point. Not only the shame of Bethlehem, that's bad enough. The shame of Nazareth. You think any good thing come out of Nazareth? But God knew the shame of Calvary. That the darling Son of God, who had been robed with the regal robes of glory, would be disrobed in shame. And by the way, let me just plug it. It is a shame to be disrobed. Amen. Our Lord was disrobed in shame. By the way, you know, and I know, if you study history, you know that those Romans, many of those Romans in that time, the time of our Lord, many of those Romans were not moral men. Many of those Romans were very immoral. Matter of fact, I don't know that there wasn't some of them that were sodomites in that, because the Bible talks about the dogs being down in the Old Testament. He's talking about those dogs gaping on him. Amen. And those bulls of Bashan gaping on him. And I believe he's talking about there the fact that there was wicked, immoral people gazing on the body of our Lord. He was beaten and he was bloodied and he was bruised. God knew all that. And yet he didn't hold back. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Amen. For us all. What a great price he paid. Amen. The costly sacrifice that God gave in giving his son. It wasn't just something smooth and easy. And you might say, yeah, but he knew he's going to die, and he's going to, just 3 days all it's going to be, and he's going to raise him from dead. Can I tell you that in those 3 days and those 3 nights, when our Lord was in the heart of the earth, I believe our Lord suffered as much hell as you would have suffered forever and ever if it hadn't been for the mercy of God. Amen. God spared not his own son, but he spared you, and he spared me, thank God, because he spared not his own son. Amen. Amen. One of them Thren boys, and I can't remember now which one it was, Brother Mark sings the song, but one of his brothers, I think maybe David, wrote a song that talked about how that he couldn't, if he's going to spare me, he couldn't also spare himself. Amen. And I'm telling you, thank God he didn't spare his own son. He still gave, knowing the fact that what it's going to cost him to give, and knowing the fact that people weren't going to appreciate the gift that he gave. Amen. And by the way, let me just plug this, and I'm not fussing at you, but let me plug it while I'm here. It's bad enough for the wicked world to say, I don't care about God's son. I don't care about the price that he paid. I'm not interested in hearing that story. But it's another story when the child of God can just, oh, I've heard this story before. Oh no, we ought to look at it and say, thank you God. Thank you God for loving me. Amen. The only reason I can love you is because you loved me first and you paid such a price. Hey, listen, God didn't get a bargain in that. Oh no, God didn't get no bargain. But thank God you and me did. Amen. We got a deal in that. Amen. 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 We ought to be able to rejoice. Amen. In the fact God planned all that and spared not his own son. Don't you think if God had wanted to, he could have done something else? He could have said, I'll tell you what, I think I'll accept the blood of bulls and goats. And we'd have been bringing bulls and goats from now on out. But God said, no, blood of bulls and goats ain't enough. No, the blood of bulls and goats will never be enough. God said, it's going to take the blood of my own dear son. Amen. And it pleased God to bruise him. That's what the Bible said in Isaiah 53. The costly sacrifice of God. Then I want you to notice number two, the complete substitution of grace. Not only he spared not his own son, look at verse 32 again, this next phrase, but delivered him up for us all. Amen. That's the complete substitution of grace. God paid the price that is the ultimate price. No more needs to be paid. Amen. No more needs to be paid. Well, what if so-and-so wants to get saved? Is there enough grace for him? Sure there is. But what if somebody else needs to be saved? There's enough grace. There's enough grace. There's enough grace. Amen. The sacrifice has been paid. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Amen. Amen. Just come to Jesus and you can have your need met, thank God, because there's enough grace to cover it all. Amen. Complete. Amen. Complete substitution. He delivered him up for us all. Now listen, you could say Jesus went to Calvary because of Barabbas. He took Barabbas's place. But I can say he took my place. And you can say he took your place. Amen. And friend, let me just tell you, even if you're not saved today, I believe he died for you. In your place. In your place. Amen. Jesus tasted death for every man. Amen. Now, let me think about this. I've got just two or three points I want to point out about that. First of all, the fact that God didn't spare him, but delivered him up for us all does not mean that God didn't love his son. It just meant he loved us more. Amen. Oh my. Amen. Yeah. It don't mean that he didn't love his son. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. He loved his son. I'm going to tell you what pleased him was when his son stepped in line with that crowd there on the banks of Jordan River. His son didn't have any sins. That whole crowd lined up there. All were sinners and they were there repenting of their sin. They were being baptized in repentance, a baptism of repentance. That's what the Bible said. John was baptizing them in a baptism of repentance and they were confessing their sins. Jesus stepped in that line with the rest of them, though he had no sins to confess, thank God. But amen, hallelujah. He stepped in line with the rest of them because he's been our substitute. Amen. He's not sparing himself. He is placing himself there that he might die with the ungodly, that he might make his grave with the wicked. Amen. He's dying for you and I. Amen. Amen. God said, that's when God said, that's my boy. I love my boy. I'm pleased with my boy when he's putting himself on the level with sinners. Amen. Jesus wasn't a sinner. Amen. And in one sense, he could never be on the level of sinners. But he voluntarily took that cup and drank it. Amen. Took that load of sin. Amen. And bore it on his own body to Calvary. Amen. God, it's not that God didn't love his son, but it's that he loved sinners. Amen. For God so loved the world. Amen. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it humbles me when I think about the fact that God didn't spare him, but he spared me. Amen. Amen. It humbles me when I think about the fact that God gave him in my place. And when Jesus was dying on Calvary, listen, as if God said, Pharaoh died there. Paul said, I was crucified with him. Amen. I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Amen. But I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Amen. Amen. Think about this phrase here in verse 32. Delivered him up. Delivered him up. Turn, if you will, back to Matthew. I want to show you something in Matthew's gospel. And I won't belabor this point, but I just want to show you Matthew chapter number 26, dealing with the time there right before the crucifixion. Matthew 26. Amen. By the way, you pray for me. I've been battling this sinus stuff for, I think this is the fifth week. It'll get a little bit better, then it'll get a little worse. And then crying just opens it up even more. Amen. That's all right. That's right. Exactly right. We'll sling it and have a good time doing it. Amen. Amen. It won't be blood on the wall and guts in the cracks, but it might be. Amen. Might be something else, but amen. Look at Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 15. I want you to notice something. Matthew chapter number 26. Let's back up to verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And look at this. And I will deliver him up. Let me find my place. And I can't find it. I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted unto him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas. That phrase, we talk about somebody being a Judas. We talk about the Judas kiss. The Judas kiss. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Bring me the whole box. Amen. Amen. Hang on, let me put this on mute a second. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And that don't make for good radio, but it's right. Amen. It's right. We talk about Judas. The idea of a Judas is a betrayer. Judas said, I will deliver him unto you. If you'll give me 30 pieces of silver, he just said, you name the price. What would you give me? And they agreed on 30 pieces of silver. He said, and I will deliver up. Can I tell you that Judas is guilty of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, he's guilty. He's guilty. He delivered him up. But it wasn't just Judas delivered him up. It was in the plan of God all along. Amen. If you'll turn over from Matthew, go to Mark chapter number 15. And this is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Mark's got it all right together in one chapter. Real easy to see. I've got three places here that he talks about our Lord being delivered. Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 1. You remember that Jesus went in the garden to pray? And as he's praying, this mob comes, Judas and them, and Judas says, I will mark him with a kiss. The one that I kiss will be him. Amen. And they take him in verse number 1 of chapter 15 of Mark. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him unto Pilate. Judas said, I'll deliver him. Then the chief priests came and the elders and the scribes and the whole council came and they delivered him. Listen, they could have done with him according to their law. But can I tell you, their law is this Old Testament law and they could find no fault in him concerning his life with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So those Jews couldn't do anything with him. So you know what they did? They delivered him up. But can I tell you, I said Judas is responsible. So are these chief priests. So are these scribes. So are these elders. So is this whole council. Amen. They are guilty of betraying our Lord and delivering him up to Pilate. Amen. They're guilty of that. But that ain't all there is. Look at verse number 10. Let me back up to 9. But Pilate answered them saying, will ye that I release him unto you, that I release unto you the king of the Jews? He's talking about him or Barabbas. For he knew, look at verse 10, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Jump down to verse 15. And so, Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Amen. God said, Paul said this in Romans, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And that very same word, Judas said, I'll deliver him up if you'll just give me enough silver. Those chief priests, those elders, those scribes, that whole council said, we'll deliver him up to Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I believe he's the king of the Jews. I believe he's the Messiah that he said he was. What do you want me to do with him? And he delivered him up to the people because he feared the people more than he feared God. But there's one more. Look in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, that great message. Acts chapter number 2, that great Pentecostal message. Amen. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 23. Peter's preaching. Let me back up to 22. All right, so we can get the context. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, look at this, being delivered. Who was it that delivered him? By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Amen. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You see that? Peter didn't soften it at all. No, sir. Listen, here's what Peter said. Peter said this was in God's plan all along. Amen. Now he said, you're guilty because it's your wicked hands. You did it with your will. Amen. It is your will that said, crucify him. It is your will that said, we don't want him. It is your will that said, let his blood be on us and on our children. It was your will that denied the Lord. But he said it was God's will that he be bruised. It was God's will that he be crucified. It was God's will that he be pierced, amen, for you and I. God spared not his own son. Amen. But delivered him up for us all. Amen. Let me think about that phrase. For us all. Amen. Amen. God delivered him up. Let me just say for us. Just start there. For us. For the likes of us. Amen. You might could understand why God would give his son for some folks. I'm talking about, you know, good people. If there was such. Amen. Maybe grandmas and grandpas. Amen. Maybe good people, people that never lied, people that had never sinned, but that'd leave all of us out. Matter of fact, that'd leave all people out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. Amen. But God in his mercy didn't just pick the best. God picked you and me. Amen. Delivered them up for us. I wrote it this way. For us sinners, us rejects, us defilers, us God haters, us cheaters, us liars, us aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, God offered his son for the likes of us. Amen. It means the doper on the street. It means the drunk in the ditch. Amen. That means the prisoner behind bars. That means the Sunday school boy and girl. Amen. Amen. That means whosoever will, God offered him up for us. But then he didn't just say for us. He said for us all of us. Amen. Not just for the best of us, for all of us. Amen. Amen. Not just for the easiest to say, but for all of us. Amen. I could go on and on with that. Not just those from good families. Amen. I'm glad there's hope even for broken families. Amen. Amen. You think, listen, I know we're living in a day when the average family is a broken family. Honest. That's where we're at. The average family is a broken family. The people we're going to reach, if we reach anybody with the gospel, the people we're going to reach today are going to be people that didn't have a Bible God-fearing home, more than likely. They didn't have a God-fearing home that's intact. They're going to come from broken homes. They're going to come from a disgruntled past. I mean, a shameful past. Amen. But I'm glad there's hope for folks in that category. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God's willing to save to the uttermost. Amen. That's why I was born in a stable. That's why I went to Nazareth. That's why I went to the lowest of the low, to the outcast. Amen. Amen. He came that he might taste death for every man. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Now I'll give you my last point. I'm wore out. Amen. Amen. Yes, he's worthy. Yes, sir. He's worthy. Yes, sir. Yes, he is, brother. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll just plug this while when we get to glory, we won't be shouting over walls of jasper. We'll be shouting over Jesus taking our place. Amen. Amen. We won't be shouting about a street of gold. We'll be shouting about the fact that Jesus bled and died for our sins. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. But here's the purpose that it's in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, if you read this whole thing, he's talking about, he's comforting the godly. He's not preaching to sinners in Romans chapter 8. No. He's preaching to saints that are struggling. He starts off talking about there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. To those of us that are in Christ Jesus. He gives us hope for life. Amen. He gives us purpose. Then he goes on talking about, and we know that all things work together. And he's given up nothing. What's going to separate us from God? Who can lay anything to God's lay? Amen. He goes through laying all this out there about how good our God is to his children. Amen. Listen, I'm glad God loves sinners, but I'm glad I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm glad I'm one of his own children. Amen. And God mightily, amen. If he loves sinners when they're in their sin, woo, hallelujah. You think about how he loves a blood-washed saint. Amen. Somebody that rejoices in the name of Christ and lives for Jesus. Amen. Amen. What a privilege. Amen. Woo, amen. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Maybe I ought to stay up all night every night. Amen. Amen. But this is written to comfort the child of God. That's what it's written for. Now, and this is my, I talked about the costly sacrifice of God. I talked about the complete substitution of grace. Right here is the comfort and strength for the godly. The comfort and strength for the godly. Here's what he said. Look at, let's finish the verse. He said, he that spared not his own son, we can shout on that. But delivered him up for us all, we can shout on that. Look at this though. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Woo! Amen. Amen. Now think about this. God's arguing, and I love the way God thinks. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. But God's arguing this, if I could say it from the back door. Here's how we do. We place arguments this way. We say, for example, if you're down, if you can get one step up, if God lets you get there, you can trust him to help you make one more step. Amen. That's how we... But here's what he said. He said, God done give you the best. God done put you on top. Amen. God done gave you the greatest, met the greatest need you could ever have. And God gave you the greatest gift you could ever have. What's all these little things? I mean, how are we going to worry about all these little things when we've got the greatest thing we could ever have? Amen. Amen. If we can trust God to save our eternal soul, don't you think we can trust God to feed us tomorrow? Amen. Don't you think we can trust God to help us make it another day? Amen. Amen. I believe we can just trust God. I do. I believe we can just trust God in life if we can trust God with our eternity. Amen. 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 He just gave us the whole kit and caboodle, amen, all at one time, amen. Gave us that greatest gift that could ever be given. Amen. Amen. God took His greatest asset and spared it not, but gave it to you and I. These little things that He's got, these little trinkets like bread for tomorrow, our daily bread, like strength and health, like praying for our loved ones. If God gave the greatest asset, we can trust Him to give us the whole treasure chest. Amen. We can trust Him with all these other things. Now, I'm about done, but I dare not leave this point out. I put this note here because it blessed me. Not only God gave us the greatest gift, but think about when He gave us the greatest gift. What was you? What was you? Where were you when God gave His Son? You wasn't begging God for mercy. No, you wasn't asking God to give His Son. God just chose to give His Son. Amen. God just chose to give mercy when we surely didn't deserve mercy. We wasn't even asking for mercy. Amen. We didn't even realize, I mean, we wasn't even in the picture as far as we're concerned. But as far as God's concerned, God knew all about it. Amen. And while we were yet enemies, that's what He said in Romans chapter number 5. While we were yet enemies of God, God gave His Son. Amen. He died for us while we were at enmity with God. Amen. So if He would do that when we're enemies of God, don't you think when His children come to ask, God says, I'll listen to their plea. Amen. I'll bless them with what they need. Amen. And so the comfort here is that we can go to God with our troubles and not question if God's going to be stingy or not. He's never been stingy. Amen. Amen. And then one more. I got just one more. Not only this argument from the greatest to the least, this great gift when we were enemies, but number three, here's what He said. In verse number 32, again, look at it. He that spared, that's past tense, spared not His own Son, but delivered, that's past tense, Him up for us all. How shall, that's future. Amen. How shall He not also with Him, not with Him also freely give us all things. Amen. He said God did that in the past. I'm glad all of God's promises are not in the past. Amen. We don't have to live in the past. Listen, I thank God for the revivals of the past, but we don't have to live there. We can walk with God today. We can have revival today. Yes. Amen. God could pour out His Spirit today. Amen. Amen. And we can believe Him today because all of God's blessings are not past. If He blessed us in the past, He can bless us today. And He can bless us tomorrow. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. As they come with a song with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to come, listen. If you need to come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Call on Him. Call on Him. He'll help you if you'll come to Jesus. Amen. Do you need to? Do you need the Lord? Maybe you need to say, thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Amen. Do you need to come while they're coming and praying? Amen. Do you need to come? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the fact that You spared not Your own Son. Thank You, Lord, that we can come in prayer. We can come believing. We can come trusting. Lord, we don't take it for granted, but we know for a fact that You gave Your greatest gift. And we can trust You with these little things. Oh, Lord, to us they're not little things. To us they're major things. But Lord, I'm glad that to You, compared to our Lord, compared to that great price You paid already, they're a little thing. We can trust You with it. I pray, dear God, You'd meet these needs. Help these folks on the altar. You know why they're here. I pray, dear God, meet their need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing. Do you need to come? Obey the Lord.